Good morning. This is America in the Morning from Westwood One. I'm John Trout. It's Friday, April 26th, 2024. Here's what's coming up on America in the Morning.
Arguments have wrapped up in an appeal filed by Donald Trump seeking immunity from criminal prosecution. I'm Jackie Quinn.
A growing response to a climbing number of protests on college campuses across America. I'm Clayton Neville.
The first cargo ship has now passed through a newly opened deepwater channel in Baltimore. I'm Pamela Burr.
The court response to Donald Trump's appeal of the E. Jean Carroll judgment. An update on the case.
On Wall Street, after yesterday's ugly sell-off and partial recovery, we get inflation numbers this morning. I'm Jessica Ettinger.
Astronauts assigned to Boeing's first human space flight have arrived at their launch site. I'm Norman Hall.
U.S. births fell last year. I'm Shelley Adler.
All ahead on America in the Morning. Former President Trump continues to face an uphill climb in his legal battles. You'll recall special counsel Robert Hur declined to prosecute President Biden for his handling of classified documents. The topic of presidential immunity is before the Supreme Court. Correspondent Jackie Quinn has the latest.
The existing system is a carefully balanced framework. It protects the president, but not at the high constitutional cost of blanket criminal immunity. That has been the understanding of every president from the framing through Watergate and up to today.
Prosecuting the president for his official acts is an innovation with no foothold in history or tradition and incompatible with our constitutional structure.
The hearing ran over 2 hours, starting with an attorney for Donald Trump.
The framers of our Constitution viewed an energetic executive as essential to securing liberty.
And D. John Sauer argues the fear of prosecution would hinder that.
That looming threat will distort the president's decision-making.
Justice Elena Kagan giving a hypothetical about a president ordering a military coup.
Let's say this president who ordered the military to stage a coup, he's no longer president, he wasn't impeached, he couldn't be impeached, but he ordered the military to stage a coup, and you're saying that's an official act.
I think it would depend.
That's immune.
I think it would depend on the circumstances whether it was an official act.
But Trump appointee Justice Brett Kavanaugh says the question is when immunity can apply.
That's the concern going forward, is that the system will, when former presidents are subject to prosecution, and the history of Morrison versus Olson tells us it's not going to stop. It's going to cycle back and be used against the current president or the next president and the next president after that.
The case could be sent back to the lower courts, which could delay a decision until after the November election.
You come across a lot of cases where the U.S. attorney or another federal prosecutor really wanted to indict a case and the grand jury refused to do so.
There are such cases. Yes. But I think that the other
level. Every once in a while, there's an eclipse, too.
Well, I think that's for the most reason is prosecutors have no incentive to bring a case to a grand jury and secure an indictment when they don't have evidence to prove guilt beyond a reasonable doubt. It's self-defeating.
I'm Jackie Quinn.
Hundreds of arrests have been made this week across the country as pro-Palestinian protests continue on college campuses. Correspondent Clayton Neville reports that students, administrators, and police are considering the best ways to move forward.
Tense clashes between demonstrators and police on campuses from Austin, Texas, to Emory University in Atlanta, to more Ivy League schools in the Northeast. An encampment now set up at Harvard, another at Princeton. More than 100 people arrested at an Emerson University rally. Protest organizers calling for universities to divest from ties with donors that back Israel. But it's believed many of the agitators aren't directly tied to the organizing groups.
We're seeing some familiar faces that are in various marches and protests that we believe that they're continuously to infiltrate these marches and want to cause some serious conflicts.
New York City Mayor Eric Adams spoke with WNYW-TV.
They come and disrupt protests all over the country. We're seeing despicable terminology and words that I think is immoral. It may not be illegal, but it's immoral.
White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre condemning any anti-Semitic chants or language used at the demonstrations.
There is no place for
for hate or hateful rhetoric or any type of violence, obviously.
Former President Donald Trump spent the day in court during his hush money trial yesterday, but he did speak to reporters about the college campus protests, blaming a lack of action by President Biden.
Biden is sending an absolutely horrible message. Horrible, horrible message. He has no idea how to message. He can't speak. He can't put two sentences together. He doesn't know what to do. This is not our president.
Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu asked for more to be done in response to the protests this week. And State Department spokesman Vedant Patel responded to that.
The Prime Minister is welcome to make whatever comments he'd like. When it comes to what is happening in this country, we're going to remain focused on that. And specifically on some of the spread of anti-Semitism that we're seeing.
Patel also pointed out that it's up to governors to deploy their National Guard troops. Whether it'll come to that or not, unclear at this point. Today is the deadline for Columbia students to clear their encampment. I'm Clayton Neville.
A couple of the stories we're covering next. Baltimore Shipping Channel reopens. Trump denied by a U.S. district judge. America in the Morning, back after these messages.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen. Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
Thanks for listening and welcome back. You're with America in the Morning. Concerns over some severe weather today. With an update, here's AccuWeather.com meteorologist Brian Thompson.
Severe weather will be a concern not just today, but over the next several days across the middle of the nation. We're going to be watching a developing storm system today over the central plains. It'll be moving across Nebraska as we head through the day, and there will be some showers and thunderstorms that develop out ahead of that as we head throughout this afternoon, especially and into tonight. That's going to lead to some severe weather. Now, the highest risk for severe weather will be from around Kansas City up through Omaha and toward Des Moines, but the threat for severe storms, which includes the threat for hail, tornadoes, and flash flooding, will extend from southeastern parts of South Dakota around Sioux Falls all the way down through St. Louis, Little Rock, even down toward the Dallas-Fort Worth area as we head throughout the day. And again, those storms will tend to migrate a little eastward as we head into tonight. But farther east, along the east coast today, it's going to be a pretty nice day. We'll enjoy a fair amount of sunshine from Maine to Florida. A little cool in the northeast, but still pretty nice for late April. We'll be a little warmer, of course, across the southeast. Pretty warm across much of Texas, especially south of where those storms are going to be. Highs today will be in the 90s across the Rio Grande Valley. Now, farther west, we're looking at some showers and storms across the Rockies. And out west, some rain in the Pacific Northwest, and even some showers into Northern California, even some spotty showers through parts of the San Joaquin Valley. So a pretty active weather day across much of the country today, the exception being the East Coast. And that's the weather across America. In New York City today, a chilly start, but sunshine throughout the day, high 61, and a windy day in Chicago with afternoon showers and a thunderstorm, high 62. That's the nation's weather. I'm AccuWeather.com meteorologist Brian Thompson.
I'm John Trout. Remember, you can follow us wherever you get your podcasts. Apple, Spotify, Amazon, YouTube. Just search America in the Morning in your favorite listening app. Stuck in the harbor for a month. Now a cargo ship has become the first to pass through a newly opened deep water channel in the port of Baltimore. Pamela Furr has details.
This ship was one of five that had been stuck in the harbor since the Francis Scott Key Bridge collapsed. It's considered an important step in the ongoing cleanup effort, as crews have been working hard to clear thousands of tons of mangled steel and concrete from the entrance to Baltimore's harbor. Army Secretary Christine Wormuth tells ABC News.
Reopening this channel is about, you know, getting $100 billion worth of economic activity for the country. Turn back on again.
The shipping channel is now deep enough to allow 80% of the vessel traffic the harbor handled before the disaster. Everything from cruise ships to car carriers and other vital cargo will now start moving through the area. The Dolly ship lost power shortly after leaving the port of Baltimore last month. Six members of a roadwork crew died and the bridge collapsed. Four bodies have been recovered from the underwater wreckage, while two remain missing. Baltimore's mayor and city council are calling for the Dolly's owner and manager to be held fully liable for the bridge collapse. They believe the disaster will be devastating for their local economy, so that's why they're doing it. The investigation in what exactly caused the ship to lose power continues. I'm Pamela Furr.
A federal judge rejects former President Trump's latest attempt for a new trial, upholding the verdict and the $83.3 million award in the defamation case against writer E. Jean Carroll. U.S. District Judge Lewis Kaplan stated in his written opinion that Trump's arguments are, quote, without merit, end quote, and the former president made public and personal attacks that endangered Ms. Carroll's health and safety. Last month, Trump demanded that he receive a new trial, but that request was also denied. Attorneys for the former president plan to appeal the decision. Coming up, amid the spring home buying season, mortgage rates soar. An update when America in the Morning continues after these messages. Welcome back. You're with America in the Morning. The Business Report is sponsored by Fisher Investments. Fisher Investments has a team of specialists in investing, financial planning, estate planning, and more. Learn more at fisherinvestments.com. With the Friday edition, here's CNBC's Jessica Ettinger.
Wall Street opens this morning after yesterday's ugly sell-off. Although stocks recovered some of their losses before the closing bell, investors had some growth concerns after the new GDP report, which showed a hint of inflation in there. The Dow was down 275 points. The S&P 500 index fell 23. The NASDAQ was down 100. All three major averages are still in the green for the week, though. Wall Street knows it's all about inflation this morning with the PCE, personal consumption expenditures. Microsoft, the world's most valuable company, out with strong quarterly results after the closing bell. And while investors were worried about Facebook parent Meta and its higher spending, they're not worried about that with Microsoft.
They're very responsible capital allocators, and they're watching the demand signals. If there's any downturn, potential issue with softness, they'll be the first ones to dial that expectation back. So I don't see them being too ahead of the curve.
Goldman Sachs' Kash Rangan on CNBC. Google parent Alphabet reported strong results after the close. Investors are watching the company's AI strategy.
Some product blunders, obviously, well-publicized on the Gemini launch. Investors are certainly going to be interested in correcting the course here and bringing, you know, better technology to market.
Loop Capital's Rob Sanderson on CNBC. But no worries. After the closing bell last night, shares of Google parent Alphabet soared 12%.
Spring home buying season's here. What's the latest on mortgage rates?
Yeah, well, bond yields were up yesterday. The rate on the 10-year Treasury hit its highest in 5 months. What's that mean? Well, mortgage rates loosely follow the rate on the 10-year. So heading into this spring home buying weekend, the average rate on a 30-year fixed home loan popped up above 7.5% yesterday afternoon. But pending home sales ticked up a little last month.
Sales were barely up year over year, just 0.1% higher. This is the best reading of the year, but that's not saying much. Sales are still hovering around a 30-year low. In March, mortgage rates were uneven, starting above 7%, dipping below, then back up again and down. Home prices, however, straight line up, thanks to strong demand and still low supply. Regionally, sales rose everywhere except the Midwest, and they were strongest in the South. Now, the realtors are predicting home sales this year will be 9% higher than last year. Part of that is on the expectations that rates will still come down some. I guess we'll see, but bond yields up again and mortgage rates loosely follow the yield on the 10-year Treasury.
CNBC's Diana Olick. On today's watch list, it's all about inflation. The PCE is coming. Earnings are coming from names like Chevron, ExxonMobil, plus AbbVie, AutoNation, Colgate, Palmolive. That's just to name a few. We also get the latest on personal income and spending and a new read on consumer sentiment.
We'll look for that. CNBC's Jessica Ettinger. When we return on America in the Morning, the U.S. birth rate plummets after these messages. Welcome back. Here with America in the Morning. NASA astronauts arrive at Kennedy Space Center to prepare for Boeing's first human spaceflight. Correspondent Norman Hall reports.
Astronauts assigned to Boeing's first human spaceflight have arrived at their launch site just over a week before their scheduled liftoff. Butch Wilmore and Sonny Williams will serve as test pilots for Boeing's Starliner capsule, which is making its debut with crew after years of delay. Due to blastoff May 6 atop an Atlas rocket, the Starliner will fly to the International Space Station for a week-long shakedown cruise. Boeing is trying to catch up to SpaceX, which has been launching astronauts for NASA since 2020. No one was aboard Boeing's two previous Starliner test flights. I'm Norman Hall.
American women are giving birth at record low rates. Correspondent Shelley Adler reports.
A little under 3.6 million babies were born in 2023. That's according to provisional statistics released by the CDC. That's about 76,000 fewer than the year before, and the lowest one-year tally since 1979. Nicholas Mark is a University of Wisconsin researcher who studies how social policy and other factors influence health and fertility.
The level of fertility that we're seeing is not super low. It's very similar to European countries. This is not like something to be alarmed about at all.
The provisional numbers released by the CDC are based on more than 99.9% of the birth certificates filed last year. I'm Shelley Adler.
America in the Morning for Friday, April 26, 2024 is produced by Jeff McKay. Production assistants, Christian Matos. Our senior producers, Kevin Delaney. I'm John Trout. This is Westwood One. This is America in the Morning from Westwood One. I'm John Trout. Coming up this half hour,
the University of Southern California has canceled its main commencement ceremony after clashes on campus. I'm Jim Roop in Los Angeles.
Israel resumes airstrikes on Gaza as Hamas releases video of an American-Israeli hostage. I'm John Stolness.
Another day of testimony in the Hush Money trial.
There is no case here.
I'm Linda Kenyon.
The impacts of more aid for Ukraine. I'm Clayton Neville.
Amazon-owned Ring customers will be getting refunds. I'm Shelley Adler.
The NFL draft gets mighty offensive. I'm Robert Workman.
New York State's highest court has dismissed the 2020 rape conviction against former movie mogul Harvey Weinstein. I'm Archie Zaraletta.
Back after these messages. We're back. Thanks for listening. This is America in the Morning. Let's try and jumpstart the forecast for many today with AccuWeather.com meteorologist Brian Thompson.
It is a chilly, even frosty start to the day across much of the Northeast. Temperatures down into the 30s, even the 20s in some areas. But we are going to see quite the turnaround over the next several days. In many areas by Monday, we'll be seeing highs in the 70s and 80s. So a very quick transition to some warmer weather as we head later on into the weekend into early next week. But it will be dry all along the East Coast today with a fair amount of sunshine. Temperatures mostly in the 60s in the Northeast, and you'll see highs in the, mostly in the 70s across the Southeast. You'll run into some 80s as you get down into southern parts of Georgia through Alabama into Florida as well. Severe weather will be the concern farther west as a storm develops across the plains. Now, there will be some rain breaking out ahead of this storm across the Ohio Valley, up into parts of Michigan, Wisconsin, up into northern portions of Minnesota as well. But then the threat for thunderstorms from around Minneapolis cyclists, and then you run into the threat for severe weather towards Sioux Falls, Omaha, Kansas City, St. Louis could even see some heavier storms heading into tonight, and the threat for heavier storms exists down toward Tulsa, Little Rock into Dallas as well. The threat for hail, tornadoes, flash flooding, and certainly some damaging winds as well. Now, as you get out west, there will be some thundershowers across the Rockies. Through much of the Intermountain West, there will be some showers around today. Perhaps some steadier rain at times in the Pacific Northwest from Seattle, and especially down toward Portland and Eugene, and then into northwestern California, some rain too. And there will be some showers even down through parts of the San Joaquin Valley, perhaps even a stray shower around the San Francisco Bay Area on this Friday. That's the nation's weather. I'm AccuWeather.com meteorologist Brian Thompson.
I'm John Trout. Remember to follow us wherever you get your podcasts. Apple, Spotify, Amazon, YouTube. Just search America in the Morning in your favorite listening app. Citing new safety measures, the University of Southern California, scene of escalating pro-Palestinian protests, cancels their annual main stage graduation. Jim Roop reports schools across the nation are changing their normal routines as demonstrations have led to hundreds of arrests.
The main commencement ceremony had been planned for May 10th, but now it will no longer take place, and USC officials say tickets will now be required for people to attend any other commencement activity. The announcement comes a day after nearly 100 people were arrested on campus following a day-long occupation by pro-Palestinian protesters of Alumni Park, the site of the annual main commencement ceremony. Organizers of the protest had planned to camp in the park and remain in place until the university met a series of demands, including divestment from Israeli-tied organizations, cancellation of Israeli study abroad programs, and the issuance of a university statement calling for an immediate and permanent ceasefire in the Israel-Hamas war. The protest was also fueled, in part anyway, by USC's decision to prevent valedictorian Asna Tabassum from speaking at the commencement ceremony following complaints about online posts critics called anti-Semitic, including a call for the abolition of Israel. USC Provost Andrew Guzman announced the decision earlier this month to bar Tabassum from speaking at the commencement, insisting it was strictly a public safety decision, not a political one. But the move drew condemnation from groups including the Muslim Public Affairs Council, the Council on American Islamic Relations Los Angeles, and the ACLU of Southern California, along with others, like USC professor Dr. Sherman Jackson. He's among the voices that were calling on the university to let Tabassum speak.
Hundreds have raised their voices, students and faculty, Muslim, Jewish, Christian, Buddhist, Hindu, and atheist, in opposition to the university's decision to bar Ms. Tabassum from speaking.
And now that point is moot as the entire ceremony is canceled. Jonathan Greenblatt, CEO of the Anti-Defamation League, posted on social media that canceling the commencement ceremony sends the wrong message, writing, "The answer can't be to cancel commencements for everyone. That's allowing a heckler's veto. Schools," he says, "should stand strong and protect their students' rights to the full college experience." USC will hold smaller graduations in which students can reserve up to 8 tickets that go to named individuals, and the tickets are not transferable. Also, prior to entering commencement events, security will screen people and bags, measures similar to those attending athletic events at the university, and the university says a clear bag policy will also be in place. Jim Roop, Los Angeles.
Hamas releases a video of an Israeli-American hostage more than 200 days after his capture. This as Israel plans its invasion of Rafah. John Stolness has more on the latest Middle East developments.
Hamas released proof-of-life video of Hirsch Goldberg Polin, who was wounded when he and more than 200 others were taken hostage by Hamas back on October 7th. The undated video shows part of his left arm missing several inches above his hand, his mother Rachel urging her son to stay strong.
Hirsch, if you can hear this, we heard your voice today for the first time in 201 days, and if you can hear us, I am telling you, we are telling you, we love you, stay strong, survive.
Palestinian health officials are accusing the Israeli military of creating mass graves for hundreds of people around two major Gaza hospitals. Israel denies charges of field executions and says they're not responsible for the mass graves. The U.S. is pressing Israel for more information, and the United Nations is calling for an international investigation. This comes as Israel began pounding Gaza with renewed airstrikes yesterday, after a couple of weeks of relative calm ahead of an anticipated invasion of Rafah, expected within the next couple of days. Pentagon spokesman Major General Pat Ryder also says no Americans were hurt after an under-construction pier for a U.S.-led project to bring aid to the Gaza Strip came under fire on Wednesday.
This occurred before any U.S. forces, have started moving anything. There'll be no U.S. forces on the ground. And as I understand it, in terms of there is no U.S. equipment per se in this marshalling yard.
No one has claimed responsibility for that attack. John Stolness, Washington.
Former President Trump's hush money trial continues in a Manhattan courtroom. With an update on the case, here's our correspondent Linda Kenyon.
The action was both inside and outside the courtroom as former National Enquirer publisher and Trump ally David Pecker testified for the third day. Pecker laid out how he helped catch and kill stories that painted Trump in a negative light as Trump was campaigning for president in 2016. Catch and kill, which he described as standard operating procedure in tabloid journalism, is the process by which a publication pays a source for exclusive rights to a story and then never publishes it. Pecker says he did this at the behest of Trump and his team to influence the election. Before going into the courtroom, Trump spoke to the media on just about everything else.
Some very big things have happened, but the biggest seems to be that the GDP just announces all the way down to 1.6%, and it's heading south.
And he blamed President Biden for that and so much more, using his platform as a way to campaign, since the trial has kept him off the campaign trail.
As you know, some tremendous polls came out over the last 24 hours where we're up in all of the swing states and up nationally. But one came out where we're down very little in New York. New York traditionally isn't won by Republicans anymore.
He also blasted the trial.
This is no case. There is no case here. This is just a political witch hunt.
And he complained about not being able to go to Washington, D.C., where the U.S. Supreme Court was hearing his case about presidential immunity from prosecution.
I would have loved to have been there, but this judge would not allow that to happen. I should be there, but he wouldn't allow it to happen. I think he puts himself above the Supreme Court.
That case involves whether Trump can face criminal charges for trying to overturn his 2020 election loss.
If you don't have immunity, you're not going to do anything. You're going to become a ceremonial president. You're just going to be doing nothing. You're not going to take any of the risks, both good and bad.
Lindy Kenyon, Washington.
Among the stories we're covering next, refund checks from Amazon in the mail, and artificial intelligence meets high school prank. Those stories and more after these messages. Welcome back. You're with America in the Morning. I'm John Trout. There's a renewed hope among Ukrainian leaders following President Biden's signing of a foreign aid package that sends more money to Ukraine and its continued war with Russia. Correspondent Clayton Neville reports.
Now that the bill's been signed, Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky very much grateful to the United States Congress.
Yes, thank you so much.
Now, while the United States has by no means been a stranger to Ukraine, shelling out big-time money over the last 2 years, in recent months there has been hesitancy on Capitol Hill to approve more help for the Ukrainians. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell shared his thoughts on why that may be. He pointed to a former Fox News host.
The demonization of Ukraine began by Tucker Carlson, who, in my opinion, ended up where he should have been all along, which is interviewing Vladimir Putin.
In Ukraine, the fighting is seemingly escalating. Ukrainian forces have started using long-range ballistic missiles, hitting a Russian military airfield in Crimea and striking Russian forces in other occupied territory. The weapons reportedly secretly given to Ukraine by the United States. Meanwhile, the global implications of the war are very much playing out. French President Emmanuel Macron urging the European Union to become a superpower in the effort to stop Russia's war in Ukraine. He stressed urgency and said that Europe could die if it fails to build its own elaborate defense. I'm Clayton Neville.
The United States will pull the majority of its troops from Chad and Niger after those countries end previous agreements for U.S. troops to operate there, Lisa Dwyer reports.
The Pentagon says that the U.S. will relocate most of the approximately 100 forces it has deployed in Chad and the majority of the 1,000 U.S. personnel assigned to Niger. Pentagon Press Secretary Major General Pat Ryder.
We'll conduct follow-up meetings in Niamey next week to coordinate the withdrawal process in a transparent manner and with mutual respect.
The withdrawal puts a dent in the U.S. military's efforts to counter violent extremist organizations across the Sahel region. Niger has experienced political insecurity. Chad's presidential election is May 6th, and both have seen an uptick in influence from Russia and China. Russian military trainers arrived in Niger earlier this month with Russian equipment to reinforce Niger's air defenses. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
Some Amazon-owned Ring customers will soon be receiving refunds. Correspondent Shelley Adler explains.
The Federal Trade Commission is sending more than $5.6 million in refunds to consumers as part of a settlement with Ring, which was charged with failing to protect private video footage from outside access. In a 2023 complaint, the FTC accused the doorbell camera and home security provider of allowing its employees and contractors to access customers' private videos. The settlement requires Ring to delete content that was found to be unlawfully obtained, establish stronger security protections, and pay a hefty fine. Much of that money is heading to eligible Ring customers. I'm Shelley Adler.
Artificial intelligence-voiced deep fakes are unfortunately nothing new, but now a high school gym teacher has used it to make his principal say something he did not. Here's Chuck Palm with that in today's tech news.
According to an article from TheVerge.com, a gym teacher is accused of using an AI voice clone to attempt to get a high school principal fired. Baltimore County Police arrested Dazon Darian on Thursday and said he used generative AI to fake a racist rant that sounded like the Pikesville High School principal. The AI software cloned Principal Eric Eiswert making racist and anti-Semitic comments, but it was all deep-faked. Eiswert was briefly suspended, but experts reviewing the recording said it had a flat tone, unusually clean background noises, and a lack of consistent breathing sounds. The police stated that they believed Mr. Darian, the athletic director, made the recording to retaliate against Mr. Eiswert, who at the time was investigated for mishandling of school funds. Not being an isolated case, U.S. lawmakers have filed but not yet passed several bills like the No Fakes Act and No AI Fraud Act to prevent these kind of fakes in the future. Tell us what you think at allthetoptech.tech. I'm Chuck Palm.
America in the Morning continues with us good old humans. And here's Robert Workman with a check of sports.
Round one of the NFL draft last night, Commissioner Roger Goodell announced the first pick.
The Chicago Bears select Caleb Williams, quarterback, Southern California.
The 2022 Heisman Trophy winner was one of six quarterbacks selected in the first dozen picks. That had never happened before. Last year's Heisman winner, LSU's Jaden Daniels, went second to the Commanders. The Patriots took Drake May from North Carolina third. The Falcons shook up the board by taking Washington's Michael Penix Jr. eighth, just weeks after signing Kirk Cousins to a four-year deal. Minnesota traded up to 10th to get their new QB, J.J. McCarthy from national champion Michigan. And Denver took Oregon's Bo Nix with the 12th pick. The first 14 selections were offensive players. First time no defensive player went in the top 10. The draft continues today and tomorrow. NBA playoffs, the Sixers got 50 from their star Joel Embiid as they knocked off the Knicks 125-114. New York still leads the series 2-1. Magic manhandled the Cavaliers 121-83, Cleveland's worst playoff loss ever. The Cavs lead 2-1. And the Nuggets came back to beat the Lakers. Nikola Jokic, Aaron Gordon, and Michael Porter Jr. each with a double-double. Jamal Murray could have joined them with just one more assist. Denver can complete the sweep tomorrow night in
L.A. Stanley Cup playoffs first round, Panthers got by the Lightning for a 3-0 lead. In that best of seven, Matthew Tkachuk scored twice, and the Hurricanes held off the Islanders. Carolina goes for the four-game sweep tomorrow as well. Baseball, the Phillies shut out the Reds, a three-hitter for Zach Wheeler and the Pit Crew. Cubs top prospect Pete Crow Armstrong got his first big league hit, a tie-breaking two-run homer in the sixth as they downed the Astros. Gary Sanchez belted a pinch-hit go-ahead two-run homer in the eighth to boost the Brewers over the Pirates. Rocky scored six times in the eighth to upend the Padres. Series sweeps for the Dodgers and Twins, wins for the A's, Guardians, Mariners, and Royals. That's Friday Sports.
Thank you, Robert. When we return on America in the Morning, setback for the Me Too movement as a rape conviction is overturned. That and more after these messages. You're with America in the Morning from a New York court. Dismissed the rape conviction for Harvey Weinstein. Correspondent Margie Zaraletta reports on what's next expected for the former movie mogul.
The New York State Court of Appeals has dismissed Harvey Weinstein's rape conviction in New York over what it calls improper and egregious rulings by the judge in the case.
The thrust of their opinion was that they believed that the DA, by introducing evidence of uncharged conduct, subverted the thrust of what the case should be about, and that was, is Harvey Weinstein guilty of the specific crimes that were charged?
Former federal prosecutor David Weinstein, who is no relation and not involved in the case, says prosecutors have a few options.
It is up to the state of New York to decide whether or not to retry Harvey Weinstein for these same charges. They can also enter into a negotiated plea agreement with him.
Harvey Weinstein's lawyer, Arthur Idala, calls the ruling a tremendous victory for every criminal defendant in the state of New York.
She gave a very clear narrative of her side of the story. If you believed her, he was guilty. If you didn't believe her, he's not guilty. You didn't need four other people who he was not charged with to help understand what sexual assault is. And that's exactly what Judge Rivera found. That the witnesses were there only to make Harvey Weinstein look bad.
Weinstein remains in prison for a 2022 rape conviction in Los Angeles. I'm Archie Zaraletta.
Going to the movies this weekend, Zendaya has a new movie about tennis, love, and betrayal. Kevin Carr has a sneak peek of Challengers.
The new film Challengers asks the question, can tennis be sexy and thrilling?
You think that tennis is about expressing yourself, doing your thing? You don't know what tennis is.
The answer, at least as it's presented here, is a resounding no. Unless you want to be visibly drenched in flop sweat from the actors on a 30-foot-tall screen.
I'm playing for both of us, Tashi.
The story examines the relationship between three tennis phenoms over the course of 13 years and their passion for each other and the game itself.
You don't know what tennis is. We went somewhere really beautiful together.
Alas, the characters are all shallow, despicable, and thoroughly unlikable. But even worse, the film is plain boring. And it doesn't matter how much pulsing pop music you blast on the court. Nope, still boring. Challenger's success depends on how much of an actual movie star leading lady Zendaya is. It's so desperate for this that the advertising implies some pretty intense moments.
Want me to come tuck you in? How often does this happen? Going after the same girl?
Aren't you everybody's type?
Come here.
Which one of us?
Sorry, guys. None of it actually pays off. We're left with a feature film-length version of a jewelry ad with attractive but utterly vapid people wandering in confusion.
I assume you planned this?
Not this part.
Die-hard tennis fans may like this one, but it's a double fault for me. Challengers gets 1.5 tennis balls out of 5. I'm Kevin Carr, and that's the way I see it.
That's our show for today, Friday, April 26, 2024. America in the Morning is produced by Jeff McKay. Production assistants Christian Matos. Our senior producer is Kevin Delaney. I'm John Trout. This is Westwood One.
The Bigger Pockets portfolio of podcasts are worthy of your investment.
We're having a real conversation as real estate investors.
New episodes available every day.
It's important to buy where it makes money and not necessarily where you want to travel to.
Bigger Pockets, On the Market, Rookie Real Estate, or Money Podcast.
The purpose of flipping is to create more cash so then you can reinvest into other types of properties.
The Bigger Pockets podcast on YouTube or wherever you listen.